These are real, actual, undoctored, unaltered versions of ads that appeared in church bulletins. Quote, "The peacemaking meeting scheduled for this afternoon has been canceled due to conflict." Quote, "This evening at 7 p.m., there will be a hymn singing in the park across from the church. Bring a blanket and come prepared to sin." Quote, "Low self-esteem support group will meet Thursday at 7 p.m. Please enter through the back door." It's one of my favorites. Quote, "The associate minister unveiled the church's new tithing campaign last Sunday, entitled, I Upped My Pledge, Up Yours. Now, that could get you fired in some places right there. Quote, "Remember in prayer the many who are sick of our community. Smile at someone who's hard to love and say hell to those you don't like." But this is my favorite one. I quote, "Irving Benson and Jesse Carter were married on October 24th in our church, thus ending a lifelong friendship." I thought, you know, I know some of these people that should have just stayed friends. How many of you know it's a lot easier for like to become love than for lust to become love? It's a lot easier to like people and then fall in love with them over time than it is to try to force yourself to love someone who's very, very difficult to love. Today we're going to talk about in this series the three best words. I love you. They're the words of adoration. They're the words that create that sound that we're all longing to hear. We're all longing to be that person who's been picked out and elevated and loved and acknowledged. And when I say to someone, I love you, I'm saying something really important, something deep. And yet in our culture, let's be honest, I love you is just like a byword. Love you. You know, you can say, for example, when you say, you can write an email to a guy and you can say, I love you. You don't say, I love you. You say, love you, bro. Guys don't say, I love you to each other. Love you, bro. That's legal, right? Love you, bro. And then sometimes we wonder, you know, all these people who love us, where are they? Where are they when life gets really tough? Those people who say, you know, I want to be with you to the end. You just didn't know the end was that close. Or those who say I'm right behind you, and they really are, way back in the distance somewhere. Love is something easy to say, but it has to be proved, and that's what we're talking about in this series. It's not what you say or do; it's what you say, then do. Or as the scriptures say, dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us what? Show it. It's got to be something that you show. I love you. And when you study the scriptures, and the more you learn about God, the more that you learn that love is something backed up with action. For God so loved you that he what? Gave. He gave. He's generous. And out of the overflow, the heart of love is that overflow of generosity. That's why we want to make someone's day every single day. Think about it. Make someone's day every single day. You make one person's day every day, 365. You're creating goodwill. You're creating focus and energy and lift. What if everyone where you are truly loved each other? And they were able to express it. But you and I both know, as powerful as love is, there are some things that try to pass themselves off as love, but really aren't. For example, a counterfeit for love is lust. Let's just call it what it is, lust. It's just simply the desire that says, I want to satisfy my temporary physical impulses at your expense. I want to somehow take you and turn you into an object. And ladies, let me say this to you. Any man, Any man who wants you to put out sexually in order to prove your love is not a man who loves you. He doesn't respect you. He doesn't care about you. He's just a guy who wants his desires met. Aren't you glad I thought about many different ways I could have said that? But listen to the change described in the converted heart, the heart that's loved by God. The heart that's loved by God, it says, turns. It turns from your own desires, and you want to obey God the rest of your life. You can just stop right there and say, how I know I'm a follower of Christ, that I am a Christian, or however, whatever you want to say, is do I have a desire to obey God? You see, God demands our love or nothing. God says, why you do something is far more important to me than what you do. Religion says that the highest standard of human behavior is compliance. So you can say, you know, I'm coming to the gathering. I don't want to be here. I'm not engaged. I'm really hacked off. I got to be here. But I'm here. You're here. Your body's here. But it doesn't count. Oh, man. Isn't that awful? I mean, you know, if you really love God, you go to church every Sunday. And when you're not here this summer, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm your pastor, I'm going to tell you, if you're not here this summer, you're out somewhere, you're on vacation, you're at the beach, you go to church, you bring me back a bulletin to prove it. Going out there on that vacation, laying on the beach on Sunday morning. You're going to hell is what you're going to. You're going straight to hell. You know what that is? That's manipulation. It's wrong no matter where it comes from, whether it comes from a religious point of view or a person point of view or a married point of view. There's also another counterfeit that I just gave a great demonstration of, and that's shaming. Shaming is not love. Shaming someone to care about you, to stay married to you, to get married to you, is not love. Shaming is always degrading. Let me say this to you. God is into guilt, but he is not into shaming. Guilt is the pain you will feel over what you should have done but didn't. And it's real. And God gives that guilt for one purpose and one purpose alone. And that is to drive us to him to have forgiveness and healing and restoration. He doesn't make us feel guilty in order to rob us of joy. He makes us feel guilty just like he gives us fear to keep us out of the front, out of the middle of the interstate and out from in front of big trucks. Because he loves us. But shame is the pain you will feel over who you are. And that is always a degeneration of love. And you'll never get that from God. God is not into shaming. Shaming is not love. And if you are into shaming your children, your spouse, or anyone around you, stop it. Because you are ruining the relationship. It's like pouring sand in the gear of a machine. It may not break today, but it will break. There's another counterfeit that I see an awful lot in talking to people is bargaining. I see that a lot in dating relationships. You know, bargaining. You know, if you really love me, you'll do this and that and the other thing. And, you know, prove your love. Get in the backseat of the car and prove that you love me. If you don't put out, you don't love me and all this. That's not love. That's manipulation. It's lust. It's that desire that says, I am the center of my own universe, and everyone who comes around me gets sucked into the vortex of my need. Have you ever been around people? Some of you will meet people in the morning. You go into work, and they're just like they suck the life out of you. Let's be honest. Just like you walk up to them, they'll be at the water cooler. How you doing? It's good to see you, man. They'll hook a hose to you and just suck. Just suck the life right out of you. You know, we call them party poopers. Call them anything you want to. They're people who need to be loved. They're starving for love. And if they can be loved, they're not going to let anyone else enjoy it. So if that's what it's not, what is it? How do you know when it's love? Luckily, we have been given in great detail what the actions of love are. There's a verse, many verses, but one of the, I guess, the most popular is in 1 Corinthians 13. Matter of fact, I put it in your outline. Let's just read it together. It says, if I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't have love, I am nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and you bunch of lazy dog. I know you pay me to read it. Okay, that's right. And if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. That's sobering. And that is revolutionary. It says you can go through all the motions. You can outwardly comply. But if your heart isn't changed, it's nothing. It's nothing. You can't fake it till you make it. It has to be there. And you need to be loved. And the more you're loved, the more you're able to love another person. And maybe one of the reasons in your marriage you're having such a difficult time with love, because it is such an extravagantly energetic power, is because you don't have any. The only way you can give love is to have been loved. And that's the whole genesis and genius of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Is that when I'm related to him, when I'm hooked to him, when I'm redeemed and restored to him, I'm restored to the essence and to the fountainhead of love. And love is the most powerful thing in the whole universe. It is what created the universe and what sustains the universe even to this moment, the love of God. And out of the love of God comes the generosity of God, the goodness of God, the peace of God, the redemption of God, the promises of God. All of them flow out of that power. And if you've been loved by God, you're able to love in these ways. Matter of fact, there are 15 ways listed. I just put them in a list so you can easily see them. And let's just talk about a couple of them and make application. 15 ways you know it's love. One, love never gives up hope. That's the enduring nature of love. Aren't you glad God didn't give up on us? Didn't give up on the world. You have Noah and the flood and what happened after the flood, and God didn't give up on us. You have the calling of Abraham, and you have all the wilderness wandering, and God didn't give up on us. And you have all the stories in the Old Testament of how God blessed and then his people walked away, and yet he didn't give up on us. And you probably have your own story of how God has been good and entered your life, and many times you've walked away, but he's never given up on you. Love never gives up hope. That's why love always wears a smile. That's why love knows something that other people don't know. That it's never over until it's over. There's always hope. There's hope for everyone. When you look at someone and say, man, they're beyond hope, you're wrong. You're wrong. Your marriage isn't beyond hope. Your children aren't beyond hope. And thank God you're not beyond hope. You may have shot up something, snorted something, or drank something just to drag in here. You're not beyond hope. You may have screwed up your life so well that if we wrote it in a book, we wouldn't buy it because we couldn't believe it. You're not beyond hope. Love never gives up hope. Say it with me. Love never gives up hope. Woo! Yeah. Two, love cares more for others than for self. Love cares more for others for yourself. And this is a delicate deal. Because the truth of the matter is, some of you are miserable in life because you've given too much of yourself away. You've taken care of everyone else, but you never take care of yourself. And you are pretty selfless to the point that you've lost the sense of yourself. And that's not what this kind of love is. See, here's, love cares more for others than for self. Here's the deal. I'll be honest with you. I care This could get you fired everywhere but the gathering. But I care more for me than I do any of you. I'm just being honest. I hate when preachers say that, don't you? I'm just being honest. It's always bad, you know. I do. I love myself. I'm more concerned. When I pray first for me. I know you don't, but I do. I'm screwed up in a way the world's never quite seen anyone screwed up. So I need the prayer. And you need the practice, right? So when it says love care, how can love care more for others than for self? Here's the key, and this is really important. If you miss it, you can really slip into something that's counterfeit in that love. Let me make this statement. And just really let it soak in a minute. Everything that God has given to you or ever will give you, a great wife, great husband, kids, work that you love, home, car, a vacation, you know, 1,000 different blessings that God gives us, computer, iPhone. All of those things, you enumerate them all. All of those things were designed by God to disappoint you. All of them. All of them. Your wife, your husband, your kids. You know why? Because God doesn't want you worshiping them. He wants you worshiping Him. He understands that the source of your love and the source of your life and the source of your joy and the source of your smile is in Him. He never disappoints. He is never selfish. He's never worried about himself. He's doing quite fine. He's doing well. He's very happy. He told me to tell you that. He's in a great mood. And He doesn't need to be loved. He's not incomplete. He is totally self-actualized. But He knows that if any of His great gifts, and they're all great gifts, met all of our needs, we would worship and we would lose ourselves in those things. So He's designed everything to disappoint. That's why, have you seen the commercial where the couple's in the car and she's got her phone out and they're getting ready to make the last payment on the car? Remember that? And she said, if we make this last payment, something's going to happen to it. And sure enough, she makes it and the rearview mirror falls off. Paul and I used to own a Vega. And if you don't know what that is, you have to ask. You don't need to know. Black Vega, black vinyl interior, no air conditioning. Yeah. I'm still quite smart. And we paid for it on one day and got run over the next day. Isn't that just like, you know, the coupon book, it gets empty. Well, you know, that's life. And God designed it that way. He really did. Because we constantly have to be driven back to Him. To say, God, I need your love. My wife is one of the most selfish, self-absorbed people in the history of America. She never meets my needs. She doesn't think about me. She whine, moan, complain, all the kinds of things. She wants her mother to come down this summer and stay with us. Oh, God, I'm about to die. Help me. These kids are driving me crazy. What were we thinking? We should have taken a V8 or drugs or something. Now we have them forever. Oh, God. Amen. And so when you find the source of your love and the source of your joy in Christ, then you have something to give. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. You know why? Because it has everything. It already has everything. In Christ, the Bible says we have all things. In Christ, we can do all the things that we ought to do. So I don't need to manipulate you in order to get what I need. Habit 4, love doesn't strut around or have a swelled head. What's the opposite? Love has humility. Love simply says that when we are at loggerhead and we are in disagreement, I will take the offense. I will take the road of humility. I'll let you have your way. I can do that, not out of weakness, but out of strength. Love doesn't force itself on others. Isn't that awesome? Love says, you know what? Here I am. This is who I am. Love me. Don't love me. you know what? I'll find someone else. Amen. Here's the deal. The love of those who will love you will always be stronger than the hate of those who will hate you. Let's say that together. The love of those who will love you will always be stronger than the hate of those who will hate you. And there will be people who hate you. For sometimes no apparent reason, just the way you walked into a room. But you have to remember that the love of those who will love you will be stronger, far superior to the hate of those who hate you. So don't dwell on those who don't like you. Let them go. Forgive them. Give them the gift of goodbye. Because there'll be plenty of people who will want to love you. Listen, if you are a loving, vivacious, effervescent, generous person, you'll have plenty of friends. Love isn't always me first. You know why? Because me, you know what me first is? Me first is a scarcity mentality. Me first says it's going to run out. So I have to get in line. It's me first, and then if anything left, there's you. You see, love is an abundance mentality. Jesus said, I've come into the world to give you life and give it to you more abundantly, to the overflow. So that I'm loved by God. If I'm loved by God, who is endless, who has no need and all power and all supply, if he created everything on the earth, in the earth, and above the earth, and he's my Father and my God and my Lord, I have no need. I always have everything I'm going to ever need. I always have, always will. Yay, God. Yes? Oh, I'm not asking that you should live this way. I'm not on drugs, but caffeine has kicked in. Wouldn't it be cool if you just lived that way? Hey, go ahead. There's plenty. There's plenty. No problem. Love doesn't fly off the handle. I like that one. If you want to write out there, David's besetting sin, you may. Because boy, that's mine. Love doesn't keep score. I went to the grocery 3 times last month. How many did you go? So if you don't go to the store and get them drinks, that thing will be empty. We ain't drinking that. We won't have any Pepsi. We won't have nothing. I'm not going to. You go. Or I love this one. Have you ever had something around the house? I've never done this, but I counsel people who have. There's a sock or a pair of underwear or something on the floor. And it stay there for weeks and weeks and weeks. And you say, have you not seen that in the floor? Yeah. I'm not picking it up. I picked it up the last one. 76 billion times. I'm not picking it up. Doesn't that just promote harmony through the home? Isn't that great? Just have the sweet spirit that just flows through the home. As things start smelling, stuff starts growing on it, little green stuff. Every time the air conditioner kicks on, it kind of waves in the breeze. You're not picking it up. Now it's war over a pair of dirty underwear. Keeping score. I love love protects a confidence. Oh my gosh. If you can't keep your big mouth shut, you're not going to have very many friends. You're not going to bless very many people. Love speaks the truth in love. Instead of speaking the truth in love, we will all grow up into him. Love isn't afraid to speak its mind. A relationship has to be built on honesty, not a lie that says, you know what, I really don't, you know, it's like the lie that you know, let's be honest, that women tell themselves when they, just before they get married. You see, this is a little something I'll let you know, and I learned this of being a pastor, and this is, I'll give you a secret. When a bride comes in to the back of the church or wherever she's getting married, she sees three things and three things only. She sees the aisle. She's, because you don't want, you know, it's a pretty nerve-wracking experience if you've ever been through it. Some of you have been through it many times, so you know how nerve-wracking it is. So laugh, come on, laugh. It's God's laughing. She sees the aisle. She turns around, then she gets a little more courage, and she sees the altar. Then she gets a little more courage and she sees him. And in her mind, she says, I'll alter him. 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 And how many of you know that is a lie from the pit of hell? It smells like smoke. So speaking, love speaks the truth. It just simply says, this is who I am and what I am. And we don't have to find love in that circumstance. Love has a high boiling point. In the Greek, it literally is the word from which we get our word thermometer, microthumia. It has a high boiling point. It doesn't fly off the handle. Love depends on God's faithfulness. Exactly what I've been saying. It is out of his love that I love you. Love is relentlessly optimistic. I love that. Relentlessly optimistic. We're going to finish this series with using the words at work. And I can't wait. I'm going to that one because one of the great things of using the 31 words, I love you, I believe in you, I'm proud of you, I need you in my life, I'm sorry I don't tell you more, and I will not let you go at work, is that what you do is you create goodwill and you create lift. And you create this energy that is focused toward the goal. And the more your energy, the more goodwill, and the more lift, and the more focus toward the goal there is in your work environment, the happier people are, the more optimistic people are, the more creative people are, and the more innovative people are. And so you love being around people who can say, I love you, and back it up, because they're optimistic, and you become optimistic by being around them. You know what I'm saying? If you've been around people, just being around them changes your whole mood. You know? You know, I mean, this is a confession. I don't do this anymore. I used to do it years and years and years and years and years ago. But when people would call me on the phone, you know, I would say, hey, how you doing? Hey, it's good to see you, Bubba. What are you doing? Oh, man, it's good. God bless you, buddy. It's good to, wow, that's exciting. Oh, yeah, that's, ooh, I love, oh, yeah, boy, count me in. And then when Paula would call me and say, hello, what, yeah, no. Three guns for baloney. What do you want to do? I don't know. I don't care. Whatever. Yeah. All right. Bye. I don't do that anymore, so I'm happy to reveal it. But God told me that some of you do. And you better stop it. Or you're going to hell. Why do we do that? Why do we talk to people on the outside, the outskirts of our relationship life, and the people on the inside, we just talk to them sometimes, quite honestly, like dirt? I mean, some of you actually cuss at home. You don't cuss anywhere else. Where's the anger? Where's the pain coming from? It doesn't come from love. So you have to ask yourself, if there's no optimism, and the very first thing was love never gives up what? Hope. And what does hope create? It creates joy. It keeps lift. It creates goodwill. It creates optimism. Love never looks back to blame, because everyone knows that you spell blame, B, lame. It was my father's fault. It was my mother's fault. You know what? Get over it. Love lets it go. Love says, this is what you took from me. I mark canceled on the debt, and I let you go. Love finishes what it starts. I love that. For the Lord is good. Say that with me. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. Let's say it again. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. Let's just practice the six sounds together. Ready? I love you. I believe in you. I'm proud of you. I need you in my life. I'm sorry I don't tell you more. And I will not let you go. God, and that feel good. Boy, you just go out and chase down a buffalo. Barbecue it on the side of the interstate and eat it. Let me end with three more just simple practical things I want you to do. And again, I want you to go to 31words.com. Tell us your stories. Tell us your stories. You say, I don't have one. Well, get out there and do something. Get one. And this, it'd be a sentence, it'd be two sentences, it'd be a paragraph, I don't care what it is. Just enough to inspire us. Here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think about random acts of generosity. People are out there living their lives, and some of them are miserable and sad and lonely and separated from God. And they don't need a sermon. They don't need a tract. They need a random act of generosity, something that comes into their life they couldn't have expected, but it's kind of a yay God or a that a boy or at a boy or that a girl, just a nice kindness, a nice generosity. Like this, for example. I have a $25 gift book to this theater, to Karma. 25 bucks of free going to the movies. I didn't make this up. I didn't print this morning. This is real. And I'm going to give it to whoever wants, whoever come down here and just take it. You want it? Get up right now and come down and you can have it. All right, there he is. Mama didn't raise no fool, did he? God bless you. Isn't that fun? Isn't that fun? He said, okay, he's happy. You're laughing. You're clapping. Why? Why? It's just a fun thing to do, isn't it? Can you do fun things at church? Yeah. Just, you know what? I got another one. On the side, $25. Whoever wants it, just come and get it. That's all you got to do. Just pop up and come get it. Right there. Your mom, huh? Yeah. There you go. That's yours, girlfriend. Now I got three more. No, I don't. I'm done. I'm not finished. Man, that's expensive. Number two, give out some real words of encouragement. Go ahead and say it. Just encourage people. Look at people. Say, good morning. Good day. Good to see you. Man, you look good today. I just, you know, you just, you know, an attaboy, a that a girl. And then let me remind you, thirdly, of those, of what I call these micro moment miracles. These moments where things cross and God shows up in ways that really speak to you that are all out of proportion to the act. Let me give you an illustration. This is true. It sounds like I'm going to make it up, but it's not true. Paige, my youngest daughter, is 19. She's a freshman, or she's a sophomore now at University of Tennessee, Chattanooga. She had an old car, and it's kind of broken down, so we had to replace it. And, you know, and of all things, you know, all my three girls are little girly, thrilly, frilly, you know, girls. I live in a woman's dormitory, basically. We have some friends who we always buy our cars from out in Dixon, Integrity Motors, which are really great people. Peter and Lily Pankratz are great friends, and we've bought for years and years and years and bought out there. Went out there with Paige, and she wanted a truck. Dan, she wanted a Nissan truck. She bought a little Nissan Frontier. I'm just flabbergasted. I'm like, oh, my God, my daughter's driving a truck. And she looked cool, and it's a straight shift, you know. And those little things are like anchors. I mean, they're just built so solidly, and yet they're pretty easy to work on. And so she gets her truck Thursday. She's, you know, she's life's good. You know, she's driving her truck. So Friday, her and her mother meet at the park to walk. And when she comes back, someone has broken the window in her Frontier and stolen her purse. Yeah, bummer. You know, and she said, Daddy, she said, my other car broke and somebody broke in my car. I said, there's something wrong with me. I said, yeah, well, I've been telling you that for years, honey. You know, and into that situation, you've had these things happen. Someone out there, someone there in this micro moment, this little moment, made a decision. So Paige got a call yesterday from the YMCA in Green Hills where she works and says, Paige, your purse has been turned in. Someone found it on the side of the road over on Woodmont Boulevard, picked it up, read enough in it to find out where Paige worked, and turned it in. Now, isn't that cool? Isn't that just cool? Well, you know, some things were gone, but most of the things were there. They'd gone through a little change purse and taken out everything except the pennies, left the pennies. Must have been a Baptist. I think that's probably. Well, probably Presbyterian because, you know, Baptists would have taken the pennies. But, you know, I mean, you know, that doesn't maybe sound much to you. You know, it meant a lot to her. Somebody had to, in a micro moment, inconvenience himself, get out of the car, pick it up, look at it, and go through it, and then drive over to Green Hills and turn it in. Do you think my daughter will ever forget that? Do you think that she assumes that that's kind of an atta girl from God to say, you know, hey, I got a sense of humor. I love you. I know where you are. Won't you be that person for someone? They may never put it in Tennessee, and you may never get an award, but God will count it, and you'll be blessed. Let's pray. Father, thank you this day. Thank you for your love and your grace that pursues us and dogs us everywhere we go. God, we want to be loving people. We don't want to just say it. We want to do it. We want to act on it. We want to be the one who picks up a stolen purse on the side of the road that can make a young girl's day. We want to be a person who buys that cup of coffee for someone who's feeling as though they're unnoticed and uncelebrated. We want to be the one who goes out of our way to do the right thing. I pray, Father, for your covering of blessing on these amazing men and women. I pray as the pastor of this church, as the anointed speaker for this moment, I pray for a covering of financial blessing for those, Father, who really struggle. I pray that you give them the grace and the courage to get out of debt and to be set free. I pray for someone, Father, who is really hurting in their marriage relationship. And, Father, they need love in that relationship. It's nothing wrong with them and nothing wrong with their spouse that the love of Jesus Christ pouring through their hearts couldn't cure. I pray for someone here today who feels estranged from their mom or their dad. I pray that you give them the love to make the first phone call, to call and say, Dad, I want to stand and talk. I want to tell you that I love you, but I want to tell you how you've hurt me. And I want to get it out in the open. I want life to be right between us. I pray, Father, that you will bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Go get them. Hey, everybody, this is Dave Foster. I want to invite you again this weekend to the gathering. We continue in our new series, 31words.com. We're going to be talking this week about how to save a ton of money on divorce lawyers, counselors, and drugs. How's that? We're going to talk about the power of passing on your love in the form of an official blessing on the people that are around you. People need it constantly. They need to hear not only that I love you, they also need to hear that I believe in you. We're going to talk about exactly what the scriptures teach about how you do that, how you communicate to someone how you truly feel. We often get frustrated by not using the right words. We're going to deal with that. So come be a part this weekend, 8:30, 10 o'clock. Hey, go to 31words.com, sign up, tell us about your random acts of generosity or make my day episodes and read some and get inspired and go out and help us start a movement. Remember, this week at the gathering, 31words.com. See you there.